What you guys many not realize, and Sean probably doesn't realize either, the title of today's message is You Are Anointed. We just sang Holy and Anointed One as the final song of worship there. Sean didn't know it was planned, but Holy Spirit did. Holy Spirit knew what he was doing, ministering to us without even talking, kind of purposeful on that part to where we let Holy Spirit show what God does, the way that only he can do it. You guys can all start turning to 1 John chapter 2 this morning. Yes, we're still in 1 John chapter 2, but we're working our way through the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And I hope you guys have been seeing God's desire throughout this series, where God's heart is, where God's wanting us to look at, where he's wanting us to focus on. And we're actually picking up here in a few verses that we touched on briefly last week, but we only briefly touched on them because we wanted to go out on a note about having the assurance of the victory as opposed to going out about the final hour and end times prophecy. So it's much more a positive thing to go out on, much more encouraging thing to go out on. If you guys missed last week, they're always available online, usually post Monday morning, afternoon, somewhere in that time frame. But there truly is hope and power in our relationship with Jesus. You know, last week we were talking about, with all the people right now talking about end times prophecy and how we're in the final hour, how Jesus is coming back. Yeah, he is. But he also commanded his servants to be doing what the master called us to do. That we can't be getting distracted by trying to go off and find out all this knowledge, all this stuff that doesn't affect what our purpose and goal is for what God's called us to do right here and right now. You know, he expects us to be coming back doing what he told us to do. We still have a specific calling to be operating in. We're not to shy away from that. So one bit of review from last week before we get into the text. The phrase Antichrist literally means to oppose Christ. That the enemy, he loves to have things look appealing to the believers, to take 95% truth and add just a little bit of lie to it. In this passage, John is warning us still against false teachers and the need for remaining in that relationship with God. This is where John gives us some really encouraging words. So we're picking up in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, you have an anointing from the Holy One. Now, if you have a pen, go ahead and click it, open it up, and in your Bible, underline the word you there and write your own name next to it. Because this is a promise for each of you for right now. You personally have an anointing from God. There are many times you'll see people being anointed in the Bible. Many of you may recall the story of Samuel going out and looking through all of David's brothers and going, no, none of these are him, and then anointing David as king. That was in 1 Samuel 16. Solomon, he was anointed in 1 Kings chapter 1. But when I think of anointing in the Bible, in the Old Testament, probably the story that I think of the most is found in 2 Kings 9. And you can read it for yourself later. But I love God's humor throughout the Bible. And I'll just give you a summary of the story. So Elijah sends a young prophet to go and anoint and find Jehu. He tells him to take him inside of a room, away from his friends, and anoint him king over Israel, and then open up the door and run. Okay, this can be interesting. So the young prophet did as he was told. He went, he found Jehu. He got him into the room in a house right there by the rest of his friends. And Jehu goes in there, and he does exactly what he was told. He anoints him with oil, and he opens the door and runs. So now Jehu, he walks back out, and he encounters his friends, encounters his, the rest of the guys that he was serving with. And they're looking at him going, well, what was that all about? Oh, nothing. Oh, you know those crazy prophets and their babbling. Now, this is where it really gets funny. Brought props. So this is a ram's horn. This is what they normally carried the oil around in when they would go through and anoint. The prophet poured out the entire ram's horn of oil onto Jehu. This is a jar of anointing oil that we use up here. Normally, I get a little bit on my fingers, and myself or one of the elders, we put that on you guys. Many of you probably are aware of it, either by the scent or by the feel of it after you guys leave. But that's just a little bit. So here, Jehu, think about this. He was just had all of that oil dumped on him, poured over his head. So he walks out and he's trying to say, oh, yeah, that was nothing. His friends know something is up. The other guys, they knew that something was going on. So they were like, well, tell me. So he told them. That's just the story that I remember the most. You know, I see the humor in that. That's just kind of the way I read the Bible. I see God's looking out for stuff for like that. So talking about anointing, though. So anointing is being set apart, consecrated, dedicated, chosen by God. Now, Jesus, he truly is the ultimate anointed one. Jesus is the Messiah. Now you look up that word Messiah, it literally means the anointed one. In almost any definition you find, that's what it will say. And oftentimes we talk about oil. Oil is oftentimes linked to the Holy Spirit. Just as Holy Spirit is often compared to fire, he's often associated with oil as well. And there's a good reason for that. See, Holy Spirit, he comes upon us. We have Holy Spirit in us. We are covered. Now, when you look up the definition of anointing, you get a covering or a smearing, the endowment of Holy Spirit. We are covered in Holy Spirit. We're covered in oil. We're anointed. We're smeared all over. We're slathered with Holy Spirit. That means we have full access to God. Full access to the power and the authority of God. We're set aside for God. We're spokesmen for the kingdom of God. When we speak something forth, it's as if the king is proclaiming it himself. And the enemy knows it. We're anointed by God. If you're a believer, you are anointed. It's not just for those of us who have titles. Pastor John, I don't feel anointed. But you are. Since we're anointed, we know the truth. You know, the Greek language, it really starts to grow on you. You start seeing imagery in certain words that they used. See, in the English language, we have so many words that it's the same word, but it has multiple meanings. or we have multiple words that have the same meaning. So the word that John had used here was different than the word know or knowledge that he had used before. Before, when John had used the word knowing or knowledge, he used it about the word that means knowledge by experience. Now he's using a word that means knowledge by intuition. You guys see the difference there? We just finished up a series on Wednesday nights about hearing from God. And one of the primary ways that God speaks to me is knowing in my knower, so to speak. You know, it's just one of those that he makes something abundantly clear through Holy Spirit. There's no question that it's from God. Where he tells us something that we have complete confidence that what we heard was of him. See, knowing with experience, you think logically about it. Knowing by intuition, we have faith in Jesus. Just because we can't verify it from experience doesn't mean that we can't confirm it within us. This is our confidence in God. That he does still communicate with us today. He still speaks to us. He still has a relationship with us. John continues in verse 22 here. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. We know that anyone that denies Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, is against Christ. See, even the Pharisees, they didn't refute the miracles that they were seeing, but they didn't want to accept that he was the Christ. They knew that the Messiah would come, but they didn't want to acknowledge that Jesus was the Messiah. But I think it goes much deeper than that as well. It's not just acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah. It's deeper than that. You know, God's got my eye right now on relationships so strongly that he's almost got me focusing in and seeing relationship in everything right now. So not denying the Christ is accepting that it is all about the Christ. It's embracing the Father-Son relationship that God the Father and Jesus Christ have. It's recognizing and embracing that one of the fundamental ideas of Christianity is that the Bible is 100% accurate and true. It's one of the things with the Antichrist too. You know, with the Antichrist spirit, it's that you're not wanting to accept everything that God says. See, the enemy, he knows that if he can get you in there and doubt one part of it, he'll get you in there to doubt more of it as well. And then you end up wanting to just throw the whole thing out, going, is this real? He'll want you to deny the triune Godhead, that Jesus came as a man. He'll want you to deny that it was prophesied that he would be fulfilled of being born of a virgin, denying that he rose from the grave. And then this is where it gets difficult as well. Denying God is not just in words or thoughts. It's in our actions as well. See, Jesus came to free us from our sin. So if we keep going back to our sin and letting it have rule over us, we aren't embracing the truth that Jesus came for. Putting something else ahead of Jesus, we deny God with our actions and attitudes. Kingdom math time. See, anything we have, it's worth nothing without Jesus. Anything when we add Jesus to it is the only way that it's valuable. Take Jesus away, and it's worth nothing. All my degrees I have, they're worthless. Even my degree in ministry, it's worthless if I don't have Jesus at the center of it. If I don't have Jesus as the main part, they're worth nothing. John wanted us to realize that if it's opposing Christ, if we don't recognize the full Godhead in Him. John chapter 12, verse 44 and 45. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me." And then again, Jesus says in John 13, verse 20, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me." Accepting Jesus, you have Holy Spirit too. Accepting Jesus, you have the Father also. God has so much for us when we receive His Son. It's full access to the life that He wants for us today. It's a promise of victorious living. John continues in 1 John 2, verse 24. "Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life." Now, as you're reading these chapters, you might notice that John uses the word abide quite often. In fact, he actually uses it 20 times in the book of 1 John alone. It's more than in any other book of the Bible. See, John focuses in on this word because abiding in is to reside in or remain in. It's not departing from it. It's where we get our English word remain. So he's saying to abide in what you heard from the beginning. So what did we hear from the beginning? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God made the heaven and earth. God was in the beginning. The truth was in the beginning. Long before the lie ever came from the enemy, long before sin entered the world, truth was already here. You know, this past Wednesday, we were reminded that there are two trees in the garden that are mentioned. You had the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You would think it's tree of life and tree of death or tree of good and evil, but it's the knowledge of good and evil. See, God didn't want us to live knowing good from bad. He wanted us to live listening to His voice. He wanted us to live through the relationship with Him. You know, just as Adam and Eve brought sin into this world when they ate of that tree of knowledge, Jesus came and restored that relationship to God. The Old Testament was a law as a tutor to get us to the relationship of God. So glad He restored that through Jesus. What we were told in the beginning was to listen and obey to what God says. To use that as our instructions for what God wants for our lives. Where He wants to take us. Where He wants to lead us. Where He wants to send us. That is what He wanted in the beginning. That's what we know from the beginning. So if that is where we remain, we will abide in the relationship of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That is our identity. That is where we have a loving relationship with God. One of the things that John's refuting in this chapter are false teachers. With our flesh, we have to watch that we aren't distracted by what seems appealing the way the enemy disguises it. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ. The enemy is cunning. He's crafty. He's methodical in how he gets to try to, how he tries to get to us, how he tries to deceive us. He understands that there are ways that are more likely to get to us than some others. He doesn't play fair. It's the reason why so many conspiracy theories are so popular, especially with social media. I remember back with the start of COVID, there were so many conspiracy theories out there that some of them may have had an ounce of truth to it, and then the enemy tried to take and twist stuff, try to get things way out of whack, try to get things way off base, so that way any truth that was there just got thrown out with everything else. He loves to try to get you to make that first jump and leap at it and bite at it. He coated it with good stuff that was shiny and attractive to us. John echoes that in 1 John 2, starting in 26 here. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, it is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Again, John makes it clear on why he's writing to the believers. These verses just continue to just show what we've been talking about. There's a very needed thing to be solid in the truth, to not be deceived. Now, if you're using the King James Version, they use the word seduce in place of deceive here. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to seduce you. The enemy tries to seduce us. The enemy tries to use people to draw us into a false truth. Let's face it, false truth, may as well call that a lie. The enemy tries to appeal to our eyes, tries to appeal to our flesh, tries to appeal to a pride of life, knowledge, getting puffed up, desire to be appealing to others. As believers, we're called to be different, though. We're designed to not be like the world. We're naturally going to seem odd to those who have a relationship, who don't have a relationship with God. By default, the church is meant to look different. It's one of those, if you've ever pet a cat and you're holding it, it's basically you take the cat, turn it around backwards, and you're petting it the wrong way. It's going to feel a little awkward. It's going to feel a little funny if you haven't been around it and you don't know what's there. The church, we're not meant to please people going along with whatever they want. The irony of people pleasing is actually you end up, you're just trying to please yourself. You're wanting to be liked. You're wanting to go along. You end up satisfying yourself more than you end up satisfying them. We shouldn't be going with the flow. sure many of you remember the Chosen series and the intro in it, and they've got the school of fish going around in a circle. And then you see a couple that are the opposite color and they're going the other way. And then you see a couple of them flip and then a few more flip, but they're going the opposite direction as the rest of them. It's exactly the imagery that God wants us to use. So the church, it's meant to look different. Now that doesn't mean we smack people over the top of the head with a Bible. It doesn't mean we try to cram the gospel down their throat. We are called to spread the gospel, called to evangelize, but we're meant to do it in love. But it also means that we're meant to be standing on the solid word of Jesus. We're meant to stand on the solid foundation of Jesus. It doesn't change who we are in Christ. We're meant to stand on that instead of being defined by the world. God's the one who defines us. The world wants to draw us away from the relationship with God and draw into the lie that the enemy tries to sell us. Verse 27, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as has taught you, you will abide in him." When we have that intimate relationship with God, we're anointed. We've received that anointing. You guys may have heard me say this before, but I filter everything through Holy Spirit. See, filters help sort things. It removes stuff that you don't want. It only leaves what you want to remain. Your oil filter on your vehicle, it separates all the nasty junk from the good oil that helps cool things down, getting rid of any heat or friction from the extra stuff. Coffee filters, they help filter the grounds out of the bean-flavored water that goes through it. You know, worst thing is when you have a filter that overflows or that doesn't work properly, and you end up, every coffee drinker knows, when you get that taste of grounds in the bottom of the cup. Yep. And I spent this last 6 weeks looking for a new vehicle, and one of the things there with filters is, man, the websites have come a long way. Now they've got everything listed out, so I'm able to take those 500 search results and filter them down to like 20 that actually meet the criteria of what I was looking for. But it's important to filter out what comes into our eye gates and our ear gates and let Holy Spirit be the one who determines what remains after it comes through Him. We need to filter everything through Holy Spirit. Let Him sort it out. Let Him show what resides as God. Let Him filter out the lies. Jesus says in John 15, verse 26, "But when the Helper comes," that's the Holy Spirit, "whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. And you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." Man, I love it when I see things weaved throughout the entire Bible. When I see the same thing all across the Bible. When listening to anybody speak, I have Holy Spirit. In any conversation, I have Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said He would send Him. God is so faithful. So then John says again in 1 John 2:28, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him." Here's part of the promise that God has for us. When we live in Jesus, we have confidence. We aren't wondering whether or not we're doing what the Master commanded. We know that we are operating out of that relationship with God, that we're abiding in Him and He is abiding in us. And we know that we know because we are with God. We aren't ashamed to admit and embrace God in our relationship with Him. I like how John brings it full circle here in verse 29. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. When we recognize Jesus, we recognize Jesus in someone else as well. Ever meet someone, you get along with them so well, and then you get to talking and you realize that it's because you're both believers. That Holy Spirit in you is recognizing Holy Spirit in them. Sometimes Holy Spirit in you is recognizing a different spirit in somebody else too. But it's because of our relationship with Him that we recognize that the relationship somebody else has with Him as well. What's born of the Spirit is of the Spirit. What's born of the flesh is of the flesh. Here's the flip side to it too, though. Our actions, our attitudes, reflects our relationship with Him as well. We might be going through some stuff, but the only thing that will affect our relationship with God is ourselves. This whole relationship aspect, it's important. Nothing compares to what we have in Christ. I'd rather be known in heaven than known here on earth. We have such a loving and faithful God that He made a way to restore the relationship with Him. And a loving Jesus that was willing to take our place on the cross, to take our sin on that cross. And how awesome is it for Holy Spirit to come, anoint us, and fulfill that promise that God made with us. I hope you guys are as encouraged as I am when we go through this book. You know, God's been showing Himself faithful throughout it. Amen? Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank You that You have called us, God. Lord, that You have anointed us, Lord, that you recognize that we are Yours, God. Holy Spirit, we thank You for the endowment that You are right here with us. Lord, that You are sealing us, Lord, as being God's, and nobody can take that from us, God. Lord, we thank You that You are the one at the center of it all. Lord, have Your way in us, God. Lord, have Your way in us to recognize You, to recognize Your goodness, Your glory. Lord, guide us every step of the way as well. Lord, show us when we should be vocal, when we should share the truth and love, God. Show us when to back off and let a calm presence reside. Lord, we thank You for what You're doing. We thank You for who You are. We love You, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.